then you may be taking medication, you may be going to the doctor, you may have to go in the hospital, you may need MRIs, CAT scans, all these other things. And so what's happening in your life? One thing after another, after another, after another, after another is being what? Piled on you. And so what do you need when that happens? Because see, the tendency might be to freak out and go all to pieces. But as a child of God, what you need is some hoopamanace. You need the ability to abide underneath the load.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Patience. I can't wait to have patience. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Patience. I can't wait to have patience.
I can't wait to have patience. Or in the words of one person, oh Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. So we need patience. As the people of God, we ought to be a patient people. When we look at the scriptures in the New Testament specifically, let me give you the meaning of patience, the biblical meaning of patience. There are two words, and again, we're not trying to make Greek scholars out of you, but there are two Greek words in the New Testament that epitomize the concept and the meaning of patience. The first one is makrothumia. And actually it comes from two Greek words. The first Greek word is makros or macro, which means long. And the second one is thumos, which means temper. And so the word means to have a long temper. It means to not get heated quickly. Makrothumia. So many of us need some of this makrothumia because we need the ability to stay cool, stay calm, and stay collective at times when our blood pressure would rise, when our temperature would boil, that we need to have a long temper. We need to have that ability to be able to not get heated and angry and impatient when things are going on around us. And then the second word, which is probably one of my favorite Greek words, is hoopamaneo, or in other words, or in another Greek term, hoopamanes. And this actually comes from two Greek words again. The first one is hoopa, which means under, and meno, which means to abide. And so what does hoopameno mean? It means to abide underneath the load. It means that you have the ability to continue to stand up when thing after thing after thing is being piled upon you, that you still have the ability to stand. That's patience. That's patience. Now, in order for us to get a better understanding of these two words, what I've done is I've given a couple of scenarios or situations of people who need patience and what kind of patience they need. So I've come up with these, I don't know how many it is, but situations or people that need patience. First of all, the person who is experiencing illness. If you are going through a time of illness, you need patience. And the Greek word that I put there is hoopameno, because what do you need? Like if you're sick, then you may be taking medication, you may be going to the doctor, you may have to go in the hospital, you may need MRIs, CAT scans, all these other things. And so what's happening in your life? One thing after another, after another, after another, after another is being what? Piled on you. And so what do you need when that happens? Because see, the tendency might be to freak out and go all to pieces. But as a child of God, what you need is some hoopamanace. You need the ability to abide underneath the load. For one thing after another to be able to be piled on you and for you to continue to stand, that you need patience. The next one is a parent who is dealing with small children. They need which one? They need both of them. You need macrothumia and you need hoopomenace. You need the ability not to get angry, and you need the ability to abide underneath the load. I heard the story about this teacher, and it was a rainy day, and all these kids came to school with their galoshes on and their raincoats. And, you know, she was teaching kindergarten, first grade, and she had 32 students, and she had to help them all get dressed to go out into the rain. And so she got them all dressed, and she was, you know, excited because she came down to the last child, and she was putting the galoshes on the last child, and she was trying to get them on and trying to get them to fit and doing everything that she could and sweating and grunting. And after a couple minutes, she finally got them on. And the little girl said, these are not my galoshes. And so she began to sweat and grunt and do everything that she could, and she pulled them off, and she said, these are my sister's galoshes. I borrowed them from her this morning to come to school. So how many of you know, you know, when you're dealing with children, you know, I praise God for teachers. I praise God for mothers, and, you know, fathers too, but mothers, because you have to have a lot of patience to work with children. And, you know, anybody that teaches in our public schools, private schools, whatever kind of school, if you're working with kids, you know, I applaud you. I take my hat off to you, because you can't do that job without having patience. You need some microthumia, and you need some hoopomenace. You need both of them. You need the ability to be able to stand up underneath the load, and you need the ability to keep your temperature and calm, and that's patience. A third group is the mature saint who is dealing with someone who is in sin. You know, oftentimes, people will get upset if others haven't arisen to the maturity level that they are at, and so they get a little short, and they get a little impatient, and they think that they should be further along. So what you need is you need some macrothumia. You need the ability not to get angry when somebody is not at the spiritual level that you are. I heard the story about Abraham, they said, was sitting outside of his tent one evening, and along came an old man. He was about 80 years old, and he was really tattered. And he came in, and Abraham took this man into his tent. He washed his feet. He fixed him a meal. He gave him something to drink. And while they were eating, Abraham said to the man, "Who do you worship?" And the old man said, "I worship fire." Abraham got upset. And he took the man by the jacket and lifted him up out of his tent and threw him out into the night. And God came along and God said, "Abraham, where is the stranger at?" He said, "Oh, God, I couldn't tolerate him. He didn't worship you. He worshiped fire." And God said to Abraham, "If I have put up with him for 80 years, couldn't you do it for just one night?" And, you know, just think about that. If God is putting up with folk every day for years and years and years, and what do we say? We don't have the patience to be able to put up with folk for a couple days or one night. And God has called us to see, what is that an indication of? I mean, I'm not saying that we should, you know, just tolerate sin, but what I am saying is that there ought to be a certain patience within us to be able to work along with people and not get short with them and not get impatient with them. Because if we've got this hoopomenace, or if we've got this macrothumia down inside of us, then we have the patience to deal with whatever situation we are called to deal with. Shoppers standing in a long line. Patience. It's very easy to run short on patience. You know, I often, when I'm standing in line, I don't understand, you know, why it is that I always stand in the line with the slowest checker. I don't understand that, you know, and it seemed like, you know, these folk, man, are slow as molasses, you know, and I'm standing there, and I'm like, you know, wow. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, because I'm, you know, I got some answers to how we deal with this kind of stuff, but let me say this, you know, what one of the things that I have to do when I'm standing in line, and it helps me, all right, this really helps me when I'm standing in line, because, you know, I have a real tendency, I'll be honest with you, for some reason that bugs me, and I get impatient, and what I have to do when I'm standing in line, I have to remind myself that I'm a pastor. And that if you act a fool, somebody might know who you are. And that kind of brings me back to reality. My wife will tell you, every time, I don't care where we go. I don't care where we go, there's always somebody that knows me. And they come up, hey, Reverend Glay. Now, I might not have never seen their face before. I might not know them from Adam's house cat, but they know me. So a motivation for me to have patience, even when I'm in one of my worst situations, standing in a long line, is to be reminded that you're a pastor. And whenever I'm reminded of that, something comes over me, and my spirit begins to chill out, and I say, okay, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. So standing in line can wear on your patience. People who are sitting here this morning listening to the sermon, some of y'all say, how long is he going to be today? You need patience. You need microthymia and you need hoopomanase. You need both of them. Yeah. You know the Steelers play their last game today, but they're not going to playoffs, so, you know, we just might as well stay here and listen to the sermon, right? Not get antsy. No. The person who is acting as a caregiver for another person, they need patience. I found, again, I'm just letting all my business out this morning. I was one of the worst patients in the world when I got sick. You know, me and my wife, on my part, I just was hard to work with. I remember I was had these needles running in me, and they was running these IVs. And when I was in the hospital, I was all right because there was nurses, you know, coming along, and, you know, they would change it. They would check on it. They would take care of all the stuff that needed to be taken care of. And then when I went home, you know, it was another story because I was a little nervous, right? And one of the times my wife wasn't doing it the way that I thought she should be doing it, which, again, was my fault. She was doing exactly what she was supposed to be doing. She did what they told her to do. But I was just nervous, right? Impatient, right? And I said, I'm just going to call the nurses and tell them to come and do it again. And my wife said, well, go ahead and call them. So I was a bad patient, very, very impatient, very impatient. And so what did I need? I needed patience. I needed that microthymia, that ability to have a long temper and not get agitated and turn up the heat whenever things were not going the way I thought they should be going. People who are on a diet, they need patience. You know, some folk want to lose weight and they want to lose it tomorrow, you know. I'll just say this, there's no quick way to do it. If you do it quick, it's going to come back quick. You need patience. You need whatever plan you're going on, you need to set your plan in place and just be faithful to the plan that you know is going to work. And what's the main thing that's going to keep you on the plan? It's patience, the ability to stay steadfast, consistent, and to keep on keeping on doing the right thing that you know to do, so that you can see the results that you want to see. You know, all of us would like to have a makeover, right? You see these makeover shows where they send these folk in the back and they make them over. Well, you know, if you notice, they only make it over so much. You know, you can change hair and you can change clothes, but there's some things that are not going to change in 2 hours, right? So you need to have some patience when you're in this situation. Patients who have to wait in doctor's office, you need some patience. Oftentimes, people get, I don't know how many times I've seen people get frustrated and upset, you know, waiting. You know, when I go and I have to sit in the doctor's office, I just take what I need, iPad, magazine, whatever I need, because I just automatically plan on being there for a while. And then when I do that, I get right in. So, that might be a good strategy to use. Just be patient. The employee that has been wronged by an employer or another coworker, you know, they need patience. You need to let the Lord work the thing out. You don't need to take the situation into your own hands. You need some microthymia. You need that ability to not get heated, to not get worked up, but to remain patient. And then the dreaded motor vehicle operator who is riding behind somebody who is driving slow. We, notice I said we definitely need patience, because it's very easy when people are not driving at the speed you think they should be driving, or even if you're not driving according to what other people think you should be driving. And then that's where this road rage thing comes in. And so really, you know how we could prevent road rage? Is if folk just had patience. If people had patience, there would be no road rage. But the reason that we have road rage is because people are impatient. And so they need to learn some patience. We move on. What are the results of impatience? And I've picked three biblical illustrations of the results of impatience. First of all, Saul was disqualified from leadership because he was impatient. Remember, he was supposed to wait on Samuel. They were getting ready to go into battle, and Samuel was going to come and make an offering, and Samuel was delayed in coming, and Saul started getting upset. He started getting impatient, and he rushed in, and he offered a sacrifice. And when Samuel finally showed up, Samuel said, "Because you have been disobedient, because you have been impatient, God has taken the kingdom from you." And so here is a situation where somebody was impatient and they lost their leadership position. And if you are impatient, it could cause you to lose something. I don't know what it is, but it can, you know, impatience. You know, folk, when they get impatient, some people have a problem when they get impatient, and they don't wear it very well. Because you can see it all in their face. You can see it all in their spirit. You know, and so, you know, what's that supposed to do, right? It's supposed to let the other person know that you're upset. It's supposed to let the other person know, look, I'm not happy with what's going on here, and we need to speed up this situation a little bit. But what is that? You know what I call that? That's Christian cussing. That's exactly what that is. You know what you want to do. You know what you want to say, but you know, you're trying to stay halfway sanctified. Jesus rebuked the disciples because of impatience. The disciples said, "Lord, are you going to restore after Jesus died, rose again? Are you going to restore the kingdom? We're ready to go. We're ready to rule. We followed you 3 years. It's our time now. Are you going to restore the kingdom to us?" And Jesus said, "Look, don't be impatient. It's not for you to know the time and the season." So sometimes if we get impatient, we can be rebuked. No matter who it may be by. Sometimes it may have to be by the police that will rebuke us when we are impatient. We don't want that, right? And the psalmist took his eyes off of God because of impatience. He started looking at the wicked folk, and he was wondering why he wasn't further ahead in his life than he was. He was wondering why he didn't prosper like he should have. And he said, "It was not until I went into the sanctuary of God that I saw the end of those who are impatient or those who are wicked." And so at that point, he had victory over his impatience. So we see here that the results of impatience, now think about it, the results of impatience are not very good, all right? It runs up your blood pressure. It causes you to get aggravated, probably going to cause people around you to get upset. And if you're impatient about the wrong thing, you know, you're going to end up making decisions that could be devastating. So what impatience never leads to anything good. What's the best thing that impatience can lead to? I don't know. Well, you know, maybe you get your way. But then what is that a testimony to? That you've been impatient and that you've expressed your impatience and you got your way, and now you're satisfied. But what has happened around you because you have exercised your impatience? So the results of impatience, 9 times out of 10, are not good. What are some biblical examples of impatience? Turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And we're going to look at 3 biblical examples of patience. 3 biblical examples of patience. James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waiteth for the fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the earthly and latter rains. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Murmur not against one another, brethren, lest ye be judged. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy who endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of the tender mercy. And so we see here that in this passage, the emphasis is on patience. James is dealing with the issue of patience. And in this passage, he gives us three examples of patience. And we ought to look at this and decide which situation that we're in to see what kind of patience we need. The first example that he gives us is that of the farmer. Look what he says in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer, he waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and have long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. The farmer who plants the crop generally is 3 to 4 months before he can see the fruit. So what does he have to have? He can't go out there every day and hope to bring forth fruit after the first day. He can't go out there and say, when are you going to bring forth fruit? When am I going to get something from you? I'm out here every day. I planted you. I'm doing what I, when are you going to give me something? No, what does the farmer have to do? The farmer plants it, then he has to have patience. He got to say, it's, you know, if I do what I'm supposed to do, that's, y'all missed that point right there. Y'all missed that point right there. If I do what I'm supposed to do, it's going to produce fruit. And I just have to be patient. Now, notice what he says here. He says he has to wait for what? The early and the latter rain. Now, what was that? That was the spring, the rain when he planted, the spring rain, and then the fall rain when it came and it saturated the crops and they began to produce fruit. And there was generally, one, according to one account, sometimes 7 months between the early and the latter rain. 7 months. That's patience. So what is James trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us, you can do this. You don't have to be impatient. You don't have to freak out. Just look at the farmer. The next time you start to get impatient, just remember the farmer. Just think about the farmer. Pastor Glaze, next time you're standing in line and you get frustrated because it's not moving like you think it should, just remember the farmer. He has to wait 3 to 7 months before he reaps the harvest. That's patience. That's patience. The second example that he gives us is that of the prophets. He says in verse 10, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Well, why does he give the prophets? He gives the prophets because what happened to the prophets when they preached? Most of them were persecuted. John the Baptist, he had his head cut off. Jeremiah, he was thrown in a pit. Elijah, he was persecuted. So he says, take into example the prophets. And what did they have in the midst of persecution? They had patience. While they were being persecuted, they had patience and waited.
Thank you for joining us today on Agard and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Patience. I can't wait to have patience. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Patience, I can't wait to have patience, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Patience, I can't wait to have patience. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Patience, I can't wait to have patience. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Patience. I can't wait to have patience. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Patience. I can't wait to have patience.